going to show you sort of the rank of how the governments sort of really work. It's a system where one would assume that the President of the United States holds sort of the highest rank because he's got the biggest military or whatever. But that's not quite so. There's ranks higher than him that he must obey, so to speak. And if he doesn't obey those ranks, well, then he could destroy the whole system. But I'm going to try and explain, or show you, give you a schematic or a diagram of just where these ranks, or how this rank works, and where you, as a man, or as a Christian, or as a pagan, sits in this rank. And but just before we do that, the English explanation of this word here, it just simply says a system in which members of an organization or society are ranked according to relative statutes or authority. Now there's two things happening in there: relative statutes or authority. And each meridium or each trust has its own version of laws and statutes and authority, but the trust itself may be answerable to trusts above it. That's the other thing, where some government workers and some police officers and what have you, even some lawyers, are not quite understanding this, the way this system really works. This is a quick rundown of just how the authority kind of works. And first of all, we have God. This God is the God of existence. This God is the one that created all the things that we can see, the world, and that God is the one that we don't really understand. We'll never really comprehend how this whole thing exists or is made, and we don't really have any ability to question that either, because even in trust law, as the hierarchy goes down, this type of system, the lower ranking officers are subordinate to the higher ranking officers. So we'll just see this. Now, even in the Bible, it says never put God to the test because of the type of system that we're dealing with. It's a trust law system. The next thing is man. God, man. Now, you know, in Adam and Eve and in Genesis, God created man and breathed the life into man after he made him from the earth. And this is basically stating that man has a birthright to the subject matter. He's a part of this world because this God created the world and also created man in it. That is our true God. But I'm going to sort of show you how we've lost, we're losing this God, so you've got to be careful. The next thing that happened was in the Garden of Eden, God granted dominion, which is the highest of authority, to man. And what man did, what happened in this, by granting the absolute authority, the legal title to man, that granted the equitable title with God. So man was holding the legal title to God. God was the director, and this is still evident because when this God decides to have a volcano or create a massive earthquake or create a massive storm, there's not much that man can do about it. That's the fury of God. This God, no matter what you do, hate him or love him, whatever happens, you can't question that, and you can't do much about it either, because his fury is of the greatest. And sometimes those storms and that remind us of the respect that we have, or that we should be having, for this God up here. What happened is God granted the legal title to man, so that means man looks after this planet. He's duty bound to look after it. But what he has done, or what's been offered to man, is this thing here, which is called the Vatican. And what that means is V-A-T-I-C-A-N. Vatican, which means that I can, which means holder, I can. And that's the third rank down. This is the beast of burden. And he's offered this up to man. And what he said is, you give me the legal title, and I will give you the equitable title. And I will then serve all the debts, settle all the debts of the meridian of the Garden of Eden, which is the earth. So then he controls he's the debtor, becomes the debtor of man. But man created this. God didn't create it. Man did. So the God of the Vatican is man. That's Adam. That means man. Adam means man. Now, why would someone want to pay the debts of man? And that's because this people here, it knows how to confer the debts of man back onto man. Now, the next hierarchy down is the debtor. So the Vatican creates a debtor for the Vatican. Man created the debtor to pay the debts of man. It's the Vatican. The Vatican creates a debtor. Babylon. Which means baby for long time. That's what Babylon is. Baby and long. Long. L-O-N. In Latin, it's just child, and lon, L-O-N, means for a long time. And that's probably what the surnames and the infant surname, an infant, so that when you're born, you're birthed into this state of Babylon here, which is really also or the Roman Empire, or it's the debtor of Rome. And what Babylon does, then it needs to create a debtor. This is the Vatican, and this is really Rome. Babylon is Babel, you know, the old Babylonian text and everything. It's in the Bible. It's Babylon's been recognized. It exists, and it exists today. The United States, the Pentagon, that's Babylon. I'll even show you why with the Babylonian text as well. And what Babylon has done is it created a creditor and a debtor. Creditor and a debtor. And this is what they talk about in the Garden of Eden, the tree of life. and the tree of knowledge. Tree of life, tree of knowledge. Creditor, debtor. And these two things were accounts. So Babylon had to create a remedy inside this, and to get man to pay his own debts is to turn man into either the debtor of Babylon, so that Babylon could be the debtor of the Vatican, so then the Vatican could be the debtor of man, so that man is the debtor of God. But what this thing here is trying to do is get rid of man, because this is the serpent, the usurper, the usurps in. And if it can get rid of man, then all of the debts that are paid to Babylon and then to the Vatican, if man isn't there, then he gets to keep the loot, keep the gold, keep all of the debts of man. Vatican, the very symbol, is also Vatican, Holrican. And Holder is like a valley, which is the banks of a river. It is the first the bank there. That is the director of the flow of current, the currency in relation to a charge, when charges are forced against us. Now the trick down here to create the creditor and the debtor, these two accounts are called the Christian and the pagan. Christian and pagan account. So how does it get you to make, how does it get you to hold the pagan account, which really means the pay again account. Pagan, pay again. So why this is paying again is because man's already paid. It's already, his debts are paid by the Vatican. But the Vatican are going to get man to pay the debts again for the second time. So now we have God, then man. Man created the Vatican, the first debtor. The Vatican created Babylon. And Babylon created two accounts, the Christian account and the pagan account. The creditor, the debtor. Life and knowledge. L and K. Kill. L-I-F-E. Life and kill. Now, there's two warnings. When God said to man, he said, whatever you do, you never eat from the tree of knowledge. Don't eat, otherwise you will surely die. That was the warning. Now, in the New Testament, Christ came along and he said that in my name only, my name, which is the name of an account, shall you be saved? My name only. So now we have these two accounts, which is the creditor, the debtor, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge, life, death, death, life. We have, they're called accounts. So this account is the account of the creditor. This is the account of the debtor. Now, how do we get man to hold the accounts of the debtor? And this is probably one of the biggest tricks with where the birth certificates and everything come into being. We'll name the account, and we'll just show you what's going on. This is the name. This is the, yeah. name and surname. Have you noticed that's on your birth certificate? And then when you look at your birth certificate, let's talk about John Paul Smith. John Paul When you look at your birth certificate, you're going to see this, and it will say name and surname. Now, that's what you will assume, but there's no surname on that document, on the certificate of birth. But there is a name, John Paul, as your Christian name or given name, and then it says surname. And then that's where the Smith will be, the surname. That's made you sort of assume that that's your surname. And then when someone asks you, like a police officer or someone from the state, from the Babylonian state, which is the, at the moment, it is probably the United States Securities and Exchange Commission that owns all of the nations of the world, as well as Canada, and as well as Commonwealth of Australia, and as well as the United States. Babylon owns these things, and that in modern day is more than likely the US Federal Reserve, which is a bank, and the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. So if you go into Canada or Commonwealth of Australia or any of the corporations, the Commonwealth Bank of Australia, Microsoft. If you look at these companies, Kentucky Fried Chicken, McDonald's, they are all registered to the United States Securities and Exchange Commission. So they all stem from the one world government, Babylon. Now, when you look at your name, John Paul Smith, if you're illiterate and you don't know what's going on and you haven't been taught how to read the signs at school, and just remember what Christ said. He said, in my name only shall you be saved. And then the other thing he stressed was, you must learn to read the sign. Because there's two things happening in this: English and sign. That is called a Babylonian, or it's actually called a Latin or ancient Latin symbolic text. This is a descriptive text. It's completely and utterly different. But if you're an illiterate pleb, actually, is what they'll call you, this is what you will assume this name to be. So when a police officer comes to you and says, what's your name and your date of birth? You'll say, oh, sir, my name is John Paul Smith. And yet, the name written on the birth certificate says John Paul. So straight away, someone's made an error. Someone's made a mistake. And if you're the one that's claiming John Paul Smith to be your full name, when John Paul is your full name on the birth certificate, then that police officer has been trained to, as soon as you give a full name, which includes your surname, which is incorporated with your real name, that's an incorporation, and a presumption, he will take authority over you straight away. And what it is, under a form of water law, salvage rights, because you're not John Paul. You claim to be John Paul Smith, and John Paul Smith, in law and in fact and in reality, John Paul Smith does not exist. Only John Paul in fact exists. John Paul in reality and in fact, John Paul Smith in reality and in fact does not exist. So that enters them into the world of fictions. So rather than you being a man, you will become down here a human, which is the colour of man. Now, when you look at the dictionaries again, a human is a monster. And then when you go into monster, the word monster is a fiction. A monster is a fiction. John Paul Smith is a monster because he is a fiction. Also a human. And the other thing that, which is very strange about this, is the minute you incorporate any two items together, any two things together that are incorporated in relation to the Vatican or the water law, it becomes a person. And a person is a corporation, corp speaking, which means dead. So through your own ignorance, what you're stating here is that you are the surname who is dead. Now, no one forced you to do this. You did that. You claimed your name to be the incorporated name because John Paul and Smith don't exist. They exist as two separate entities, but they don't exist as one name. So you're the one that did that. You're the one, through your own ignorance and your own inability to assume that you are right. Yet Christ comes along and said, no, you've got to learn how to read the sign. He didn't tell you what the sign, he just said, you learn how to read the sign. Well, if you know how to read the sign, you'll know straight away that, oh no, that's sign, that's not my name. That's no part of it. Sign is sin. Sign is sin. That's what it means. Even the words, S is the snake, I is one, is you, I, and N, S-I-G, which is a governance, and N is mountain and water, which is the Babylonian, it's not Babylonian, it's the two sides, it's the name and the surname, it is the creditor and the debtor. M is the mountain, and water is the sea. This is the mountain, which is land. This is the sea. But the N, when written, is the two combined. So in the symbolism, when it looks the symbol, this is the snake, which is Satan. Dead through your own false presumption that you thought that your name, John Paul, with the all uppercase symbolic Smith, was one name. And the minute you incorporated and you assumed that, this is what you became: human, a fiction, a person, a corporation, dead, and of course, a monster. And monsters have to be controlled under statute law. So you've been under the control of statute law, which is not free will, which is under what Satan wanted. You're under the control of S, Satan. And Satan did not give man the free right to make a choice. God gave man the free right to make a choice to enter into the debtor or the creditor. But how you make that choice is by learning what Christ said, by studying the Bible and working out how the Adam and Eve trusts about in relation to 1:26 of Genesis, where God granted dominion to man over the land, the air, the sea, and the thing that creepeth. Now, if you put surname, into the Latin dictionary, surname means the thing that creepeth up from below. So what's happened is man has been given dominion over the surname, which is the person, which is the human, which is the fiction, which is the dead corporation. But if you hold any sort of document from the government, such as a driver license, a bank card, or a bank account, or even hold the legal title to your home, if you hold any one of those things, you're dead. You're in the tree of knowledge. You're a debtor. You hold the legal title to it, and you have lost your equity, because in trust law, he who holds legal title cannot touch the equity without license. And this goes right back to the Garden of Eden, because when Adam ate from the fruit of the tree of knowledge, which is the tree of the debtor, when he applied for the credit card, the minute he did that, he was thrown out of the first garden, and the only way he could get back into the Garden of Eden is was under license. Now remember that maxim: he who holds legal title cannot hold the equity without license. And the license to hold the equity is granted from Babylon, which is the Vatican, which is the bank. So when you sit down here, when you're dead, then you need a license to do anything at all. And that's what's happening to you. You want to go fish, you want to do anything, you want to drive a car, you want to, because anything you do in Eden, well, while you're the debtor, you must have a license. Now remember what Christ said over here. He said, in my name you shall be saved. So what happens is this name here, John Paul, is the creditor. The creditor. And because Christ said, in my name you shall be saved, means that you still are living. You are not dead. You are not a fiction. You are not human. You are not a person. You are not a corporation. You are a Christian. There it is there. You are not a pagan. You are simply a true Christian. The Christians that go into the church that you see on every Sunday, they are not Christians. They are pagans. They believe that they're Christian. And that's what this thing is doing. He's the usurper. He's the trickster. He's Satan is always the Lucifer, the illusionist, where he presents himself as God. Because persons, the only God of a person, which is the only God of a debtor, is Babylon, which is the Vatican. The Vatican created these things here. The Vatican created the incorporation, when two names or two things are joined together, that's it. But when you're Christ, you only have one name. You don't hold any legal title, anything. When you learn how to operate this account, this Christian account over here, you will start to realize that you can have anything you want. ask and you shall receive.
And that's how it really does work. Now, the account name, just to finish off, this is where the trick, the real trick, has been in here. The Christian account or the credit account is, John Paul. And the debtor account is the surname. The surname is not just the Smith, because Paul, John Paul, and the Smith belong to us. That's our name, and this is our heritage. So the both names belong to us. So the state can't make a claim over the family name or the heritage or the Christian or the given name. It cannot make a claim. But what it makes a claim over is incorporation. So as soon as these two names are assumed as one, that is the property of the Vatican. That is the state of affairs of that governing system. This is the Christian account, written in proper English, and that is the debtor account, the pagan account. That is, so if you hold this name here in proper English, you become the debtor. So when you walk into a court and say, I'm walking into this court, I am a free, I am a living, breathing man. Well, yes, you might very well be that. But the magistrate, who's the administrator, which is Babylon, and the administration, well, it's here. That's what this thing is. Here's the I on the bill. The administrator, which is the magistrate, the man will walk in, I am the living, breathing man, Your Honor. And he will say, yeah, well, that's fine. Do you hold a driver license? Yes, what's your name? My name is John Paul Smith. Well, the magistrate is obligated to set up a salvage trust, salvation, for this, because this person down here, this man, has been lost at sea. He doesn't know who he is. He doesn't know his own name. And there's another maxim, is if you know not the name of the thing itself is surely lost. So if you walk into the court, say, I'm the man, but my name is John Paul Smith, and I hold a driver license. The poor old magistrate, he's just saying, oh, you know, what can I do about this? Okay, so he sets up a trust, and then gives him a little bit of justice that seemed to be done to make him feel a bit better, but still whacks him anyway, and whacks him as a debtor. And then once he's got the debt, he can't get out of it. You've got to pay, because debtors pay the bills. And if you're one of these, the full-on debtor, that's agreed to be John Paul Smith, because you read John Paul and the Smith in sign language and you assumed it together. That's not his problem. You assume that. You didn't do your homework. You didn't learn how to read the sign. You didn't learn your grammar. You learned nothing. You remained as a pleb, as a dumb idiot, as someone that's... You just remained dumb. So the magistrate, he's just got to administer you. The Vatican, he's got to administer all of you. So what he does is that he throws you on the Vatican ship at sea, in the Holy See. And you lose all your rights then to land law. You lose your standing as man and as Adam. And only because God said, whatever you do, do not eat from the tree, or do not eat the fruit, be a usufruct of the debtor account. Don't do that. Otherwise, you will surely die. There's you there. That's how the system works. I know it's got nothing to do with law. It's all got to do with God and Christ, because they're the ones that taught you. They're the ones that, well, the Bible sits in the court for that reason. If anyone says that it's not spiritual, course it's spiritual, because when you walk into those law courts or those courts, they're not courts, they're tribunals, they're chambers, and a chamber is a tomb. They're dead. That's why the magistrate's wearing that black robe. He's mourning the dead. And you're walking in there and you are dead. You probably go, oh. Poor fellas. They're all dead. And very rarely does any one of these ones come into that court. Now, the other slight advice, it's not really advice, but it's when you know where you stand and you are over here and you do hold the driver licenses and you hold the bank loans and you are a good little debtor and you're paying all the bills of the state, and which is very admirable of you for being that. And I think sometimes the state will thank you if you're a hard worker. You will get a good life inside the state. But when it comes into a charge, when you've been charged with any form of a charge account and you are the debtor and you hold the driver license to prove that you're a debtor, because the name of the driver license is written in the all uppercase language, which is called the ledger language, or the dead ledgers that are on tombstones, or it's also called an engraved image, which is another thing that God said, do not worship the engraved images, which are the engraved images that sit on top of the tombstones, which is the ledgers, and that's the stuff that comes in the mail. But in a court, if you are a debtor and you know that you're a debtor, then no matter if you're guilty, no matter if you're not guilty, if you've been charged, then my absolute advice to you is to plead guilty. Still state the case, but make the guilty plea. Because in the United States Labor Code, the enemy of the United States, which is the enemy of Babylon, the enemy of the administrator, is the belligerent officer. And the belligerent officer is the one that pleads not guilty. Because if you walk into a court, you're walking into the court saying, well, yes, I am the debtor and I'm not going to pay your debt. That's what you're saying. The other thing, what it does in a legal sense, the magistrates love it when you plead not guilty, because the minute you plead not guilty, you violate the military codes, which is the law of the sea, the holy sea, and you put yourself into a state of conflict. And once you're in a state of conflict and military law, the administrator has right to administer the conflict. So you're handing over all of the power over you to the state, because you have become the enemy of the state. If you're not guilty, you can only plead guilty and say sorry. Because when you have operated, when you've walked into this and you've chosen to be the debtor of the state, you have no rights. And don't try and get them. Especially the idiot people that walk in and say, I am the living man. So you got a driver license? Oh yeah. Lost. Completely dumb, stupid. The other thing is, do you need to come back to living man? One of the biggest things is the difference between coming back to being a living man. You don't have to be a living man. You don't have to come back to walking into that trust, because this is outside the system. Once you simply hold the creditor account, Christ becomes your trustee. Christ is your trustee. And that's all evident on the second certificate of birth. Because on the second certificate of birth, it states in black and white that the full name John Paul Smith is in the custody of the Registrar General of the certificate of birth,
which is the state. So it's stated on that and signed. They've even told you that they own this, and the minute you hold that, then you become the trustee of the Registrar General. But if you don't hold this name and you simply hold this name here, then you become the director of the Registrar General. You don't have to come back to living man, because Christ has given you a remedy within the world of the dead, which is the dead corporations, which is from Christ on down to 2017 AD. From that time, we live in the world of the dead, in the chambers of the water law. But inside that system, the Christian Trust is the remedy within the world of the dead. The minute you walk into a church, above every church you will see that sign. And that sign means... That's why it's found on top of tombstones as well. It means dead. So when you walk into a church, you know that that is the house of the dead. If you are this over here, a true Christian, then you don't walk into those places, because that is for the quasi-Christian, the people that think they're Christians, but they're not. Now, even other churches, you'll see that if they ever use this type of writing, the all uppercase text, then if they're using any form of symbolic text on the signs or any form of sign language, it's another dead giveaway. In this all uppercase text, they're telling you that that is sign, that is sin, that is the house of the dead, the cross. So even though people walk and go, oh, I'm going to church and I'm doing whatever it is, all you've got to do is just read the signs, go into the dictionaries, the legal dictionaries and the Webster's dictionary, start having a look at these signs. And it tells you in black and white everything. But the whole thing of the world of the dead that belongs to the administrator, which is Babylon, which is the Vatican. If you're down here, then you are subject to that. If you're over here, then you are still got the ability of living man, yet you hold the account that directs the Vatican. That's why the Vatican probably doesn't really like real Christians. It creates its own quasi-Christians in all of its church, because it knows it keeps them, or keeps the masses, under control. But when you work it out, usually criminals don't work this out. The people that do work it out are usually the people that do love God and hold this God here as the true God, as they should. And when you do that, then you are subject to the laws of the Bible, like the statutes that make up the Ten Commandments, and also Christ, which is, if you love your neighbor in a spirit of brotherhood, then no war would ever happen. But people that are with this God automatically know that they are subject to the real laws of the Bible, and they wouldn't do anything against their own brother or their own neighbor that they wouldn't like to happen to them. So the people that do work it out and that don't need to be controlled by the state don't need to be controlled by the state, because they are the true solemn people that have worked this out. So I hope that explains the hierarchy and the principle of how our governing system works today in this modern day society. It's ancient and it's never going to change. It dates back thousands and thousands of years.